Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's also odd, although I don't think our next guest really thinks it is, Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. Follow him on Twitter, at Move the Sticks, and of course the network providing live coverage of the entire draft from Nashville, April 25th through the 27th, and Teek and I will be out there as well. But I don't think Daniel believes necessarily what appears to be incredibly dysfunctional and sloppiness, or at least strangeness, emitting from the Raiders war room in terms of sending scouts home and bunkering down and just the head coach of the GM. Daniel says it's happened before with other teams, and Daniel's with us here on the show to talk about the draft and the Raiders. Daniel, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
What's going on, guys? How's it going?
Right. So you're okay with what John Gruden and Mike Mayock, your former colleague, are doing, sending all the scouts home. Get out of here. We don't want all the noise, the distractions. We're going to figure this out ourselves. That's normal.
Well, the funny thing is, look, that's the world I lived in for 8 years. All my best friends are in scouting all over the league.
Yeah.
And what people don't know is there are no scouting staff that are at the team facility right now. None. Mm-hmm. What they do is you go through your meetings. Those wrapped up this last Friday for almost every single team. Scouts have had their say, and then what happens now is they go home, and then the higher-ups, the general manager, maybe the head coach will be in there, your personnel director, maybe your college director. You put your final touches on the board. You figure out trade scenarios. You go through, kind of map out your plan. Most teams will have their scouts fly back out on a Tuesday or Wednesday this coming week. But for the most part, their contributions are done. They'll be outside the draft room for most teams, and then what would happen is you bring a scout into the room and might ask him a question about this guy's background. Are we okay with this, that, or the other if you have a question that pops up?
Yeah.
But for the most part, the scouts are – their process is kind of over right now. The only difference in this situation would be if they're not coming back at all.
Yeah.
Which sounds like that could be true. And
there you go.
Yeah.
If you're a new GM, you're gonna make all kinds of changes. So the odds are that there will be a bunch of changes amongst that group.
Yeah, if this is so typical, Daniel, then why is it being made such a big deal? It's being reported as a big deal.
It's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the way it's the latch onto, and look, Ian's a colleague, and he's reporting what he's heard, which is, you know, I think a lot of people find that interesting.
Yeah.
That they've been sent home and aren't coming back. I'm just saying, from having been inside that world, it's not all that unusual.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Okay. You know, what I quickly deduced when I saw the tweet, you know, for me in this morning, that others, and I know you've been on this as well on Twitter at Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah is with us here on Teek and Tierney. It just felt abrupt. It felt a little paranoid. Like, I'm sitting, and again, I might have read this entirely wrong, and I want to be fair to the Raiders organization, but my first sense was, well, maybe they're plotting to trade Derek Carr, and they don't want the word to get out, and they do have 3 first-round picks, and there could be a lot of trade possibilities, and want to keep it really under wraps. It just struck me as subnormal in the drafting world, if you will. But I guess I'm wrong.
Well, look, two things. Number one, I hope you're right, because it's someone who's going to be sitting there covering this thing. The more action, the better.
Yes.
So hopefully there is a bunch of action, flurry of trades, and we'll have something to talk about on draft night. The other side of it is, I mean, there are no more paranoid people on planet Earth than football people. I mean, I can tell you on the NFL side, I can tell you about colleges. I remember going to Notre Dame at one point in time on a visit. This is way back when. I won't tell you who the coach was. But I got there, and they came into the world watching tape and said, I don't know if you're going to be allowed to watch practice today. And I said, excuse me? They're like, well, you work for this team, and there's a coach on your staff that worked with the coach of a team that we're playing this week, and our coach just wouldn't feel comfortable with you out there. I'm like, guys, I'm going to watch stretches. I'm going to watch the first couple individual periods so I can get some body types. And then I'm going to leave. Like, I don't care if you run 9 fleet flickers in practice. I don't care if you win or lose a game. I have no rooting interest in Notre Dame football. I'm just here to do my job.
Coach White,
that's how paranoid everybody is.
Yeah, Charlie White shouldn't have been that rough on you.
I didn't say it.
I don't think it was Ty or Bob Davies. All right, let me ask you this. I was telling Tico off the air, I was really bunkered in my office this morning getting ready for our Tops preview on Wednesday, the night before the draft, 3 hours live. And on the show, each one of us will have to make specific picks for certain teams. And, you know, one of the teams I was really diving into, and it's interesting because they could change the entire complexity of the draft here, is the Niners at number two. We know about Armstead. We know about Buckner. We know about Solomon Thomas. We know about Garoppolo coming back from injury. They're not going to draft the quarterback, obviously. But the defensive ends, and they've taken three in the past 5 years, one is very good, one is still developing, one is disappointing. I mean, is there a chance they slide out? Do they go for Bosa? What do you really – right now, what's in your heart? What happens at number two? Because that's going to set off a chain of events here.
Yeah, I know. You look at the depth that they have there, and I think some people kind of say, especially after bringing in Dee Ford, do they go in a different direction or do they try and get out? I think they'd have to be blown away to get out of there. I know they like Quinnen Williams, but everything I heard from the very beginning was that was Nick Bosa. And you got a new defensive line coach in there in Chris Kocurek, and he was wanted by a lot of different people around the league. I think they're going to give him another toy to play with coming off the edge. I think what you end up having is you have Ford and Bosa coming off the edge. DeForest Buckner, who is a dominant player, can play inside next to one of those. And then I think you'll see Solomon Thomas. They'll limit his snaps and kind of roll him through. But I don't think they view him as kind of the long-term guy as a starter. So I wouldn't think that would preclude them taking what I believe is the best player in the draft.
Okay. All right. There you go. Good stuff. Daniel Jeremiah is with us here, NFL Network analyst. He's on Twitter, obviously, doing his thing. His Twitter handle is at Move the Sticks. And, of course, the network, all live coverage, couple of days from Nashville, Tennessee. The draft is next week, the 25th through the 27th. We'll be there doing our thing on the radio. But Daniel's with us here on Tiki and Tiri.
All right, Daniel, quarterbacks sell, as we all know, and there's a couple teams that need them, including my former team, the New York Giants. Dave Gettleman's being, I don't know, dodgy and manipulative in
a
way.
He's a little weird.
All GMs are want to do. They have two picks, 6 and 17. A lot of people are speculating Dwayne Haskins at 6, maybe not. Maybe they're saying the Duke kid at 17, Daniel Jones. So what do you expect the Giants to do with their two drafts? Because obviously the replacement, I put that in quotes, for Eli has to be in the plan somewhere. What do you expect the Giants to do?
Well, you know, I've said for a little while now that if you're going to take a quarterback at 17, it makes no sense to me that you wouldn't just take him at 6. It's the most important position on the field. You're tying your job to the quarterback. Whether or not you take him with the 6th pick or the 17th pick, that guy's success or lack thereof is going to hold your future in his hand. So, personally, I'd rather have my first choice at 6 or my second choice rather than wait till 17 and just hope and wish and pray that somehow the guy I like is going to get there. Now, the only twist in the scenario is I could see them potentially, you know, taking a defensive player, whether that's a Rashawn Gary or a Montez Sweat or whoever, at 6. And then everything that I've heard over the last couple of days is both teams at 8 and 9 are looking to get out. So you have Detroit and Buffalo looking to trade back. And that could be a scenario where, okay, you know, you come back up into 8 or 9, and then you take the quarterback there. I do believe if they're going to take a quarterback, he'll be selected before the 10th pick. I just can't see them sitting back and waiting for 17 to see what the fate hands them.
Yeah, they're also in the speculative realm with Josh Rosen as far as trading with the Arizona Cardinals. One, do you buy that? And two, if not, what happens with Josh? Because we can't see him being on the Arizona Cardinals to start the season in 2019.
No, I can't. I can't see him being there. I just, you know, I look at the landscape of the quarterback position, and, you know, first of all, I like Josh coming to the draft last year. I know he didn't play well with a very bad football team. But when you look at it, and you look at the price, and look, Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, top 5 quarterback, no doubt. He's making $35 million a year. Now, he's better than Josh Rosen. He's a lot better than Josh Rosen. It is $32 million better because he costs $3 million. I think it's $6.2 million over the next 3 years. Josh Rosen's basically free, which would give you the luxury to add a lot of other pieces on your football team when you're paying your quarterback so little. So I see value there. I see value if I was the Giants. I would see value there if I were the Redskins. That's still my guess. He ends up one of those two places with maybe the Chargers as a wild card.
Oh, they got those sweet baby powder blue jerseys back, too. Gotta love those. I love those things. All right, Daniel, let me ask you this. We talk about Bosa, talk about Williams, talk about Josh Allen. for a while, and I remember doing this in, I probably was like October on Tops, and I remember talking about Ed Oliver a lot from Houston, where I thought there was a chance he, and at that point, most people agreed, top five talent. And then, you know, kind of dropped a little bit, had an issue with the coach, with the, I think something with the jacket, and it just didn't end well for him. It wasn't a great look. He's a three technique guy. He is unconventional in his technique, and I think that's turned some people off. But what is his draft ceiling? How high can he go? And what is his draft floor? Because he's the guy to me who seems a whole myriad responses and thoughts on what he can be and where he might go.
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, it might be surprising where he ends up going. I think three to the Jets, he's very much in play there.
Wow.
I think four to the Oakland Raiders, he's very much in play there. So that would be kind of the high end for him. I don't think he would get by Buffalo at nine.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll end up being he'll be a top 10 pick when it's all said and done. Now, you know, you look, the jacket thing, nobody cares about
No,
that.
I hear you.
Nobody
I hear you.
NFL. Yeah, nobody in the NFL cares about that.
Yeah.
The lack of production, I don't know. Maybe I have to go back through and look through some notes, but I find it hard to believe I could look and see a player that was more misused than a scheme than Ed Oliver was at Houston this last year. You got a guy who played. Now, he ended up bulking up and added some artificial weight to get to like 287 at the combine, but he played at 274, 275. But they lined him up in a zero technique. They played him head up over the center and basically just said, hey, center and both guards, let's have at it. You guys go get him.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever how they used him.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
They're trying to make him into some of these smaller D tackles that we see dominate on the NFL level. You know, quarterbacks, again, I'll go back to them because they sell, and we have a few of them in this draft. Kyler Murray, a lot of people expect to go number one. That will depend on what Arizona wants to do, which is kind of a side question. Do you have any indication of what Arizona is going to do?
I texted their general manager, Steve Keim, after his press conference the other day, and said, congratulations, that was a masterful performance of filling up 30 minutes with absolutely nothing.
That's a skill.
Nothing. It was a lot of words that accomplished nothing, which is the goal of every general manager at pre-draft press conferences. I tweeted it out to you. It's like my guilty pleasure watching these things. It's like funny. Watching The Matrix. It's like watching Neo just dodge one question after another and not say a single thing. But, no, I still think it ends up being Kyler Murray. But look, we don't know until they make the final call there.
Yeah.
So as somebody who's going to be up there on the desk, gosh, I hope they wait till draft night to find out together.
Yeah. Make it interesting. Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, Daniel Jones. There's a few other ones that we talked about. Will Greer. Are any of them scary to you?
A lot of them are scary. I mean, this is compared to last year, where I felt really good about a lot of those guys. You've got the top two quarterbacks, in my opinion, with Murray and Haskins, are one-year guys. You look at Daniel Jones, who hadn't played with much talent, but on the numbers, they're not going to blow you away there. Drew Locke's been inconsistent. You can poke holes in all of these quarterbacks. That's why, when you look back 5 years from now, it might be one of these second-tier players that somebody takes a flyer on in the third round. You know, it could be a Jared Stidham or a Ryan Finley that end up emerging as one of the better quarterbacks in this draft class, because there's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now, last question we got to ask. You only got about 30 seconds here, Daniel, but it's important that you answer this question. After your colleague, Mike Mayock, now becomes a general manager, and you guys know more than anybody. Is that a career goal for guys like you to become a general manager, to be in a front office? Is that something you would want to do?
I spent my 8 years in the personnel department. I've had other opportunities to go back in, but I've got young kids. I want to get them through high school, and trust me, this TV thing's not that bad.
No, it's not. It's not. But the energy of being in a front office, as you know, it's amazing. It's nothing like
it. If you're in the right one.
Yes. Good point.
If you're in the right one. Daniel, great.
That's the whole key right there.
That's a very good point.
It is elusive for most. Daniel, great job. We'll be seeing you down in Nashville at Move the Sticks. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. Good job, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Be good,
okay,
Daniel.
You too.
He also has a podcast called Move the Sticks with Bucky Brooks, who is also really
good. That's right. Brooks is good, no doubt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.